We certainly appreciate his efforts, and we also know that he's certainly been away for some time, and appreciate the fact that he took the time to present that lesson. And we're going to continue with that same thought. But also wanted to mention Maria and Kayla both being with child, and some of the other announcements that I know I was responsible for them this morning. My mind just goes other places, so I apologize for that. But it is good to have them with us, Maria with us this morning. We've been talking about teaching others, and certainly we have passages of scriptures in the New Testament that would teach us that that's exactly what they did. Places like Acts 8:4 and Acts 18:26. Acts 8:4 says that when they were scattered, they went everywhere preaching the gospel. We find that as he talked about this morning, that there is nothing impossible with God. These people looked at it that way. And even though they were being persecuted for teaching it, the first thing they did when they went somewhere else, when they had to get away from that persecution, was to tell someone else. They wanted them to be able to have their sins forgiven as well. In Acts 18:26, we find a man, Apollos. He was a good man. But there were some things that he didn't fully understand about the new covenant. And so when he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, we find that a husband and wife team, Aquila and Priscilla, took him aside and taught him the way of the Scriptures more perfectly. They had the courage to do so, as was mentioned this morning. So I want to say before I even start this, I could go around the room, and I guess maybe in some respects I'm more privileged to hear from you than some others may be. That may not always be the case, but sometimes you're wanting to know, I'm talking to someone, and what would you use on this? And I appreciate you leaning on me on that. I love doing that, because maybe I can help with something, maybe because of experience, or maybe because of something I know about God's Word. The reason I'm saying that, let me tell you how much I appreciate that. I could start all the way in the back with Nick, and I could move my way forward on this side, start in the front and move my way backward on this side, and I will tell you what I can tell you, that all of you have talked to me about trying to talk to others about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And let me tell you how much I appreciate that. And let me tell you how this works. Jesus has been preaching some time on the earth, but as we note, he finally reached a point where he was asking a question, will you also go away? What we find is that sometimes we could, he didn't get discouraged, but we could get discouraged, and we'll talk about that a little bit in the lesson, because we don't see the results we want. But now, Cody covered that this morning very well. It isn't the results we want, it's the results God wants. Nothing's impossible with him. It'll be taken care of. Can you imagine then when Peter got ready to preach in Acts 2 and 3,000 heard that and accepted it right away? That had to make them feel so well, because there weren't that many of them at that time following Jesus Christ. So we find that this is a personal responsibility of all Christians. It's not just mine. It is mine. And maybe I have more time, and maybe I need to be spending more time than you would on that. But regardless, it won't work that way. You can't have one person in the group being the only one that's talking to others about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Each person has their part in that. Ephesians 4:15-16. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. There's not one person in this room that's a Christian that's not equally important in the work. There's not one Christian that cannot do something along that line. Because what happens? According to the effective working by which each part does its share, causing growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. What eventually happens? The body grows. Why does the body grow? Because as you're teaching others, they want to become a part of this body. And then what happens? Edification results. We are built up. All Christians need to work hard to learn the Word of God, to understand it better and impart that knowledge to others, being restricted only by the guidelines found in the Word. In other words, there are some restrictions on who can teach who, when, and where, and all of that. But other than that, we teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Hebrews 5:12-14, for when for the time you ought to be teachers. Now, he's certainly not talking about like he is in James 3, there not be many teachers or masters. In that, he's talking about publicly or speaking forward the word from a more public standpoint. But everyone can become a teacher. So, classroom teachers, not teaching things of spiritual nature, but you're teaching in a classroom. I hear you talking sometimes and you go, wow, this is a struggle. Those kids don't want to hear. And right away, what's your first thought? I'm quitting this, right? You go, no, next year you get another group and what do you try? You hope that there's some in there that'll listen, right? That's what we do. It's a continuing thought. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For he that uses milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe or a baby. But strong meat belongs to who? To those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You know how you become a better teacher? Use it. You know how you become more knowledgeable? Use it. And that's what he's trying to tell us. We're going to study some of the things that I hope will help us and encourage us to do exactly what Cody talked about in his first lesson. And to help us understand that it is God. We need to be armed. We've been listening to a lot of this about in our secular world. So let's talk about being properly armed. Armed with the right weapon. The right weapon is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. He gives all the armor in Ephesians 6. And he certainly talks about all the protection we have. And you note every one of those has to do with the Word of God. Every one of them. And when we get to the end thing that we're actually using as we go forward, it's a sword that we protect not only with, but we use to, if you will, pierce the hearts of other people. That's all we have. But what a weapon. What a weapon. It's such a powerful weapon that in Hebrews 4, 12 through 13, the Word of God is alive and it's powerful. It's sharper than any physical two-edged sword. Piercing even the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow. And it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that's not naked and open before Him. And I misquoted that last part, but that gives you the general idea. When we look at this and we think about it, my mouth starts talking faster than my brain can handle. But when we look at this and we think about it, He's simply saying to us, it already, now this should make us be thankful to have it, it's already a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And when Abe picks this up and he looks at it, God already knew. God already knew everything about me. Well, is He personally talking to me? Absolutely. Did He have Abe in mind when He wrote it? Absolutely. But He did every other human being as well. We're all the same in so many senses. So, what are we teaching? It's very easy to teach this, isn't it? We don't go to people and we're going to find that they're totally different than everybody else. We're going to find they're exactly the same. Cody used this one as well. I'm not ashamed, in Romans 1, 16, 17. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and the salvation, only the power of God and salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. It's going to take the faith of an individual in believing that gospel. So what do we have? We have this powerful weapon. How powerful is it? Well, what he would tell Nicodemus in John 3, that it was so powerful it could bring about a new birth. This just totally confused Nicodemus. That obedience to this gospel would bring about an entirely new birth. And he said, what, do I need to enter my mother's womb and be born again? He said, no, except you're born of the Spirit and of the water, you cannot be born again. And in 1 Peter 1, we find talking about this new birth. He discusses it and he tells us it is through Jesus Christ that we can have this new birth. And this new birth is very important. And we need to be totally changed from one person to another person. And we can do that. Oh, it's the same Abe that comes up out of that water, but the difference is all the sins are gone. And when we look at this, he says, since, how do you do this, folks? This is why we don't need to go into great detail with people. We just need to tell them what Jesus did. We need to tell them what happened since you have purified your souls. How? In obeying the truth. Through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again. Not of corruptible seed, not of that seed that we put in the ground that rots and forms a new life, but that seed through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. We need to use that wisdom and knowledge. In Proverbs 1:7, he says, a fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. And it certainly is. That deep reverence all the way up to an absolutely trembling in fear of our Maker. It can have all of those meanings. We need to have that kind of reverence for God, and that will certainly help us to gain some knowledge. If we know He's that powerful, wouldn't we want to know? Wouldn't we want to understand it better? In 2 Timothy 2:15, wouldn't we be diligent to show ourselves approved unto God? Wouldn't we be a worker that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth? If someone comes to us, wouldn't we do that? And then wouldn't we, after we're able to do that, as Peter put it so clearly in 1 Peter 3:15, sanctify, set apart Christ as Lord in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to everyone that asks you for a reason for the hope that's within you with meekness and fear. You don't step away. Why would Ezra talk? Ezra would talk because he knew what God's Word said. He had an awe of God, and he was fearful. He had that knowledge. He had that wisdom. He had that understanding. He knew how to rightly divide it, and he was willing to stand there and tell them they were wrong in a loving way. And with, I love the part you talked about, and with the tears. It should truly bother us to know that someone's on their way to hell. The prayer is an important part, too. Paul, when he finishes up about the Word of God in Ephesians 6:18-20, he said, pray. He said, not only pray for yourself, basically, but pray also for me, that a door of opportunity might be opened. Let's pray for that door of opportunity, and when it is open, let's take it. Let's go in. Let's be in that room ready to talk to someone. But armed with the right attitude, be very gentle with it. Think through what you're doing. Oh, it is so easy to take that sword and just rip someone apart, but that's not the idea. The idea is to try to get them to change their life. Be a mild person, a kind person, a humble person, a meek person with strength. Don't ever back down from the truth. Don't ever let them persuade you that, oh, I know that's what the Bible says, but that's not what it means. You say that is exactly what it says, and that is exactly what it means in a gentle and loving way. Why? Because you love their soul. In Titus 3, he said, 2 and 3, he said, you needed to have changed. You needed to make sure that you understand these changes that need to be made in your life. And once you've made those changes, among the many things you'll find in there is speak evil of no one, be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. Abe, your attitudes are going to change. Why would that change in me? Well, first of all, I'll have some wisdom from above. I'll see from him that I need to be gentle in this. I can't shove it down someone's throat. I will understand that it comes from God above, this gentleness in James 3:13 and also in 17 and 18. I will understand I need to be patient with people, just as He's been patient with me. I want to tell you something. I am so thankful that God has not struck me dead for my sins. I'm so thankful because I keep thinking, how many times would I have died? Have you ever thought about this? That if He struck you dead when you sinned, how many times you would have already died in this life? But He has patience. He's long-suffering. He has been so nice to every one of us, and He's been extremely nice to me. So why wouldn't I in turn, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond to perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Rule there. To which you also were called in one body. And be thankful. Well, what a mouthful. I have been working on this ever since I can remember. And I'm still going to be working on it. Because you see, a servant of the Lord needs to teach that way. He would say in 2 Timothy 2 that it's not a matter of just teaching it, but I need to watch myself. I need to make sure that I understand that when I'm dealing with other people. I was there one day. I can't speak from arrogance. I can't speak from pride. I can't speak from self-conceit. I can't say, I just, as my dad used to say, pull myself up by my own bootstraps. I find in this, must not quarrel, but be gentle to all. Able to teach. Patient. Wow. That old thing about, Lord, give me patience and give it to me now. You know, it's that most amazing thing how we all want it, but we don't understand what it takes to get it. And who had the patience first. And then some understanding. Oh, this is a part. Have some compassion. In Jude, he talks about this, and he talks about these people who have gone away, who aren't living as they should, either Christians or non-Christians. And he said, on some, have compassion, making a distinction. You look at people and we should feel for them. We need to know, just like Christ did, that woman was lost in her sins. And if she didn't change her life, she was lost eternally. We see Jesus crying as he would look down on Jerusalem and understand and know what was going to happen to them shortly, in a few years down the road. Compassion. Others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled with the flesh. We need to have that concern. We need to keep that concern, as he would say in 1 Timothy 3:8. We got to have that compassion, like Christ had in Matthew 9, verse 36. As Jesus looked at them, he had compassion, and he looked at them as a sheep lost without a shepherd. And they needed someone to guide them. They needed someone. And armed then with the right perspective. In addition to having the right weapon to use, and thankfully God provided that for us, and having the right understanding, and thankfully God provided that for us, and prayer, and thankfully God provided that for us, and the right attitude, which God told us about, so that I could make those changes, I also need to have the right perspective about this. You remember what Cody said in his first lesson? Every one of those were the providence of God. It wasn't just happenstance. It wasn't just the fact that all these things in life just kind of happen and we just fall into them one way or the other. It's because God's providence is always at work. In addition to all of those he used, and I'll also use one of them, we have Ethiopian and Philip. When God saw the heart of the Ethiopian, he sent an angel to tell Philip to go down and teach him. And what did Philip teach him? The Word of God. The Gospel. As it had been pre-told in Isaiah 53. How about Paul and Ananias? How did Paul learn this? Providence of God. God made sure. Peter and Cornelius. How did Cornelius learn the Gospel? The providence of God. When we look through the book of Acts and we look through all those examples that Cody used, we talked about not that long ago in our class on Wednesday night about God's providence and how important it is in our life. Have you noticed in all of this and in Cody's lesson how much God does? Because it's God's Word. You see, if I had to take something out there and tell someone, if I had to come up with it on my own, I would be intimidated. I have to tell you, I would really be intimidated. But the reason I'm not intimidated when I'm talking to people about it is because it's God's Word. Let them fuss with Him about it. You know, they're really arguing with Him, not me. If I'm just presenting something from God's Word, so why would I be concerned when I'm talking to someone? It's His Word that converts and convicts, and I appreciate what Cody said about that. As a matter of fact, Christ would say in Acts 18, except you become converted and become as little children. It's theirs to become converted from what's being taught. I'll never change them. As a matter of fact, if they're converted to me, they are going to be lost. I can tell you right now. But if they're converted by their own hearts from the Word of God, and that seed enters that heart, in Acts 3, repent and be converted is what Peter told them. You need to do it. You need to make the change. I can't make it for you. So you folks need to change your life. And then totally convert yourself to God and His Word. Same thing in John 8 and 9. And then we'll go to Titus. Titus 1 and 9. In discussing about men to serve as elders in a local congregation, it is a most amazing thing. He says, this is of utmost importance. A man that would be holding fast the Word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. What's he using? The faithful Word. The faithful Word. That's why we have no pride. That's why we don't, as you know, in the old days, they put notches on their belt on how many they'd shot. Well, we have no notches on our belt. There's no pride. There is, though, with that. the rejoicing of the angels in heaven and rejoicing on our part when one accepts that word and is truly converted and convicted of their sins. Because we find in Acts 11, we discussed this morning about Cornelius. It is such a valuable passage of Scripture. They went to teach them. And what does Peter, in telling the other Jews about what had happened there, what does he have to say about this? 13 and 14. Peter says, "Well, he told me how he had seen an angel, that is Cornelius, standing in his house, who said to him, 'Send men to Joppa and call for Peter, whose surname is Peter.'" Call for Simon, whose surname is Peter. And what was he going to do? Well, he's not coming to convict him. He's not coming to convert him. What's he going to be doing? Well, Peter's going to be taking something. What's he going to take? Well, we started out with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And he will tell you words. Words by which you and all of your household will be saved. It's the words. So why would Abe be intimidated talking to someone about these words? Oh, well, they might say something back. So, I'm just telling them what the Bible says. Because I love them. Because I have compassion. Because I want to be gentle with them. And I want to be patient with them. How long should I be working with someone? How long has God been working with me? Been working with me. A long time. And I'm going to tell you something. He's still got a lot to do. A whole lot to do with me. Before I ever leave this life. Because this is what happens. I won't establish that faith. Someone might look at my life and I might say, I want that life. I see what you have and I want it. And when I talk to people in this room, a lot of you tell me about studying with people because they see what you have in your life and they want it. How do you talk to them about what they want? Well, faith comes from hearing and hearing from the Word of God. Tell them what the Word of God says. Tell them, this is not a life I would live on my own. This is a life I live through Jesus Christ. But it is Jesus Christ that died for my sins on the cross. I can't do anything for you, but He can. He'll forgive you of every sin. His grace will make it possible for you to have the redemption of your body when this life is over. That through His grace, you can receive eternal salvation. You want that? I will guarantee you, as I said earlier in the class, how many of us would be happy to go tell someone, "Natalie, just found out, and I need to let you know this, someone left you $1 million. I would really be happy to tell her that, hoping maybe she'd give me a little bit of finance. No, I'm just kidding. But I would really want to tell her that, wouldn't you? So why is it then we have something that we can give someone that's eternal, that will not decay or rot like that $1 million that she'll receive? You see, it's going to be on the basis of this. And every one of these things we've talked about today, including what Cody's talked about, have come from God. Not a one of them came from this church. Not a one of them came from any individual in this church. If we can't prove what we believe from God's Word, I will tell you right now, we are to be the most pitied. We better be able to say, this is why. And we better be able to do it with a good heart. And just like He said, nothing is impossible with God. In that passage of Scripture He used, you know what the discussion is? It is about rich men having a difficult time entering the kingdom of heaven. And that's when he makes that statement. But you see, nothing's impossible with God. It might be difficult, but not impossible. It might be difficult for the word to sink in because they already feel like what they already have. But is it impossible? Abraham was a rich man. It is absolutely not impossible to have the right kind of faith. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. "For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you," those Thessalonians, "because when you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the Word of men." You see, you understood when we brought that to you that it's coming from God. That'll make you change. I don't want to just fall in line with a bunch of human beings out there that make rules. I want to fall in line with the true rule maker, God. "But as it is in truth, the Word of God, which also effectively works, but only in who? In you who believe. So when you're talking to someone, and I know many of you have, and I know you've discussed God's Word with them, and I know you've sat down and studied with them, and I appreciate that so much. And please keep talking about it. I know it's not from pride. Please, I want to hear it, because I want to know. It makes me feel good to know that there are people out there still listening to God's Word. None of us, when we talk about that, are patting ourselves on the back, because there's no glory for us. The glory comes in the cross. Jesus Christ died on that cross so that we might present that gospel to other people. You see, we plant and water. And I think Paul said this very well. He said, I have planted and Apollos watered, and God gave the increase. There's many a time that I've studied with someone and all I did was some watering. You see, the seed God already gave every one of us. Someone had already taken that seed and then implanted it in someone. And then that person came and I was privileged to be able to sit down and talk to them about God's Word. Isn't that the way you feel about it? Maybe a little watering went with it. And just that little bit of watering where the Word is just presented again, maybe from a little different perspective, or maybe it's just they needed to hear it from someone else. Maybe it was a family member and they were like, I don't know. You know what this is all about? If there is one man other than Jesus Christ in the New Testament, there's women in there too, but one man that I just have deep respect for, it's Paul. When he talks about teaching others, in this passage of Scripture, in 1 Corinthians 9:19 through 23, he basically says, whatever it takes. When I sit down with you, he said, I'm going to know you. I'm going to talk to you from that standpoint. I'm going to learn where you're coming from. I want to know something about you so that I know how to approach you. That's wisdom. To the Jews, I became a Jew. To those who are under the law, is under the law. To those who are without law, is without law. To the weak, I became weak. Why? I've become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. What's he saying? From my point of view, he knew what it was going to take to save them, the Word of God. But from my point of view, I'm going to humble myself. I'm going to try to look at you. I'm not going to come at you the same way I might come at someone else. I'm not going to come to you with a prejudice. I'm not going to come to you saying, I know already what you believe, and you're wrong. I'm going to say, what do you believe, and why do you believe it? Where might you find that in the Bible? Let's sit down. And if you can teach me that I'm wrong, I'll listen. I'll guarantee you that with anyone. If I'm wrong, I want to change. Why? I don't want to be lost eternally, do you? So why wouldn't I treat someone else that way? But here's the key. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker of it with you. Paul's saying, I'm no different than you. I'm just wanting you to know that whatever it will take for me to learn you better, I want you, for the gospel's sake, to be just like me, and I want to be just like you. We're together in this. We're all one. Partakers together. Because, after all, in the final thought of the lesson, God gives the increase. I don't care how much I might plant. I don't care how much I might water. I don't care if it's I'm out there planting corn. I will tell you one thing. I can plant all the corn in the world. I can put it in the ground exactly like it is recommended. I can water it just like they recommend. Without God, there will never, ever, ever be a stalk of corn come up. I can do all the planting with this. The most powerful seed that you will ever have. Or I can water it. But I will never, ever be able to give the increase. Because you see, in Acts 2:47, the Lord adds to the church daily such as should be saved. It's not Abe. And how hard we might work, give God the glory. If someone obeys as a result of what little bit we do, give God the glory. He deserves it. He's done everything for us. He gave His Son. He gave the plan. He gave everything we need for salvation. And all we need to do is just obey it. But see, one of the responsibilities we do have is teaching others. But we need them properly armed. And what that means is it's going to take some time. This isn't going to be one of those things where I can put the Bible by my bed at night and just hope in the morning that some of it will just kind of get in here. It doesn't work that way. And I know many of you that are teachers in the public schools, you're probably thinking, you know what, that must be what my students think. They just somehow think that this is just, they're not going to work at this. And they're just hoping, maybe. Well, I'll tell you what, in the public schools, you may get a passing grade and be a failure. But with God, you will not. And I will not get a passing grade if I'm a failure. If I am not willing to, as a Christian, to study so that I might be a good servant in this endeavor, I'm not going to be properly armed. Somebody is just going to rip me to shreds. And teaching others will never end as long as I'm on this earth. On my part, I still need to be doing it for the rest of my life. And the only way some will have access to God's Word is through us. And we need to remember that. Who's that person sitting next to us? Have we ever told them about Jesus? Why not? Why don't we? Sometimes we allow ourselves to get discouraged when others are not as willing to study with us. You know, we live in a time where in this country it seems very difficult. People don't seem as concerned about their souls as they used to be. Am I discouraged about it? No. There's still people out there. I know there are. I believe it with all my heart. And I'm thankful for any opportunity to sit down and talk with someone. We should never, ever get discouraged in doing good. We stand and sing a song, as is our custom. Any that need to be obedient to God's Word through immersion in water for the remission of sins or any other needs we might be able to assist you with, please stand.